Let's take a little look at 1 Peter, I thought. Today, we won't get very far, and this morning I'm not even sure how far we'll get into the book. But let's, if you want to turn to 1 Peter, we'll read a few verses here, because it's such a refreshing, encouraging little book. And we'll get into it a little bit more tonight. I'm not sure how far we'll get along. But we'll maybe sort of try and divide it up and get a handle on it and think about some of the things, but you'll see what we're going to talk about this morning. But 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's start right at verse 3, because there are some lovely words in here. We read a few excerpts out of 1 Peter this morning, and Thomas read it for us, but let's just read at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So let's we'll stop there and see how far we get this morning. And let's just ask the Lord to bless us as we look at these words. Father, we're grateful for this time to be able to spend together this morning. Bless each one who has come. We pray, Father, that a blessing would be suited to every heart. We come on a Sunday, Father, because we want to sing praises to you and worship you and spend time with your people. But we also come hoping for you to speak to us, Father, to say a little something to us that will be a blessing and a help to us. So we ask that you would do that this morning. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's also one other thing I completely forgot, and that is that Ryan was asking me to mention that I think 2 weeks from now, I guess I better get this date straight, considering what it is. But 2 weeks from now, or 2 weeks from this weekend, we are going to have the Sunday school picnic. So if you want to, some of you may have been aware of that. We were attempting to have it in the spring, but it was difficult, me being away in June. So I think it's the 22nd, yes. Yeah. Since I was away, it was just hard to kind of squeeze it in there, even though I think we were going to have it even with me not there, which maybe was a benefit in many ways. But it was raining, I think, so we canceled. So 2 weeks from now, and we'll see what we can do about having a great day together. It'll be a lot of fun, fellowship again, and events going on, and food to eat, and all those great kind of things. So I think there's going to be a sign-up sheet that will go up if you're going to come, because it's good to plan, I think, for desserts and a few things, and also for hamburgers and things. I want to say last year we went through the whole thing. Thought I was going to have to run to the neighbor and catch one of his cows and get him cleaned up and put him on the barbecue. But anyways, it was wonderful. So, 1 Peter. Now, of course, the book of 1 Peter was written by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired Peter, among other people, to write the Scripture. One of the amazing things when we come, though, to look at the Scripture is that while we understand that the Holy Spirit was the author of Scripture, in a remarkable way, the Holy Spirit worked within the parameters of the person who wrote the book. And so there's, each book sort of carries the unique style of the writer, even though the Holy Spirit was the author. Each book, of course, contains oftentimes references to what they experienced with God. And so it's a rather interesting thing to come to a piece of Scripture and to realize that while the Holy Spirit was the fundamental author of it, that in a wonderful way, he took and used the personalities, writing styles, experiences of the person who wrote the book and blended those in as well. So I think before we take a look at 1 Peter, it would be good for us this morning to think just a little bit about Peter. So this morning's message might literally be sort of characterized as a bit of a character study of Peter. Of course, he was one of the Lord's 12 disciples. Of the 12 disciples, I would say there's probably more information about Peter than maybe any other of the other disciples. And certainly we have this book, these books that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Peter. It is also thought that he had a lot of influence and input into the writing of the book of Mark. But Peter is the one, when you read through the Gospels, some of the disciples, we really don't hear from them at all, do we? Their names are mentioned once or twice, and we don't hear of anything that they said, or particularly anything that they did, certainly from the Scripture. But Peter is always seems to be one who's in the forefront. He was a spokesperson for the group. God used him in a mighty way. Of course, he had some problems as well. So, just a few things this morning, and hopefully maybe these things will be of some sort of a help to you. One of the things that I enjoy doing when I come to study the Bible, regardless of what it is I often like to go back to the start of something. I think the idea of first mentions in the Bible is a powerful way to begin to study the Bible and to begin to engage with some of the ideas in the Bible, but also to engage with some of the people in the Bible as well. So, the very first time that we meet Peter is recorded for us in the first chapter of John. And a rather interesting thing happens the first time that we meet Peter. Number one, surprisingly, considering how much he has to say the rest of the New Testament, we don't find any record of what Peter had to say in that little interchange that occurred between him and the Lord. And if you want to turn to John chapter 1, you're welcome to do it. But we recognize, or the story, we're introduced, first of all, to John the Baptist there in chapter 1. And John the Baptist had drawn some disciples to himself, and one of them was Andrew. And Andrew was Peter's brother. And so John the Baptist pointed up the Lord Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And he is essentially said to his disciples, "This is the one that I've been talking about." And one of the individuals that responded, one of the first ones, was Andrew. And Andrew went and got his brother, we are told, and so Peter came to the Lord. And it says that the Lord looked at Peter and he said, "You know what? Your name is Simon." That's what he was called at that time. But he said, "I'm going to change your name right now. And I am going to call you Peter." And that was the very first interaction between Peter and the Lord Jesus. Now, what was going on there when the Lord did that? What lesson or lessons can we draw out of that little interchange where Peter never had anything to say? He just listened to what the Lord said. Well, first of all, I think it's worth thinking about just briefly what the name Simon means. Simon was one of those names that you might sort of wonder sometimes whether parents were being a little bit cruel to call their child Simon. You know, it wasn't entirely a strong name. It was a name that had a history in the nation of Israel. You remember that one of Jacob's sons was called Simon, or Simeon was the Hebrew version of it. So exact same name. One of his sons was called Simeon, Simon. And he actually became the father of one of the tribes of Israel. But when he was growing up, and he was a man by this point, a rather sad story occurs, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 35. His sister was taken by a local man. Shechem was his name, and Shechem fell in love with Simon's sister, Dinah, and he took her, and essentially he sexually assaulted her, I think is how we would probably term it today. But the Bible says that he genuinely loved her and cared for her and wanted to marry her. And so Simon came along with his brother Levi, and he said, "Yeah, that's fine, we're all right with that, but one of the things that you need to do if you're going to marry our sister and become a part of our family is you all need to be circumcised." And so they agreed to do that. The man who wanted her, Shechem, and also the city that he was from and all of the people that he was related to. they agreed to do this. Well, once they did that and sort of incapacitated themselves physically, Levi and Simon fell upon them, Simeon fell upon them and killed them all. Slew them. Now that did not rest well with Jacob. I mean, it was a violent, horrific thing to do. It was not a way to deal with what had happened, not condoning or saying anything was right about what had happened up to that point. But Jacob recognized that it was the wrong way to deal with things from a moral point of view, but it was also the wrong way to deal with things if you were a small group and were worried that some larger groups would start to say, you know what, we're going to have to straighten these people out. So he said, you've put us all in danger. And as the story goes on, we get to Genesis chapter 49, and that incident becomes a defining incident in Simon's life, Simeon's life. Because in Genesis 49, we find that Jacob is blessing his sons. And he's giving to them their heritage. And he's saying, this will be your part of the land. And this is the blessing that you'll have. And when he comes to Simon and Levi, this is what he says. He says, because of what you did, because of your anger, and he literally says, your self-will, instead of blessing you, I curse you. And you will have no land in the land of Canaan, but you will be required to live with your brothers. They will have to look after you. And that was the curse he placed on both of them. And the reason he did that, he says literally, because of their anger, and he says, you acted in self-will. So that was the heritage. Now a little later on, Levi redeemed himself at the golden calf as the nation of Israel was going through the Sinai. But Simeon never ever seemed to redeem himself. And so that was the man that Peter was named after. And you know, if you study the life of Peter, you can actually see that that character manifests itself in Peter's life, doesn't it? He was a guy who acted in emotion. A lot of times he had his own ideas about things, you know, and this is what I'll do. And even when the Lord spoke to him directly, if you think of the book of Acts, when the Lord brought down those sheets with the unclean animals on them, and the Lord says, take, eat, and have these things. And he says, not so, Lord, you know. Well, the Lord said, you're to go ahead and do that. But Peter says, no, that's not how I'm going to do. I don't care who says it. And the Lord said, listen, if I've made it clean, you just better get out your knife and fork and get started. So the Lord changes his name. And instead of calling him Simon, he says, your name will be Peter. And you can see that the word that is used there is Petros. And Easton gives this definition. He says, it is a mass of rock or a stone, if you will, detached from the living rock. And the living rock then would be defined as the rock that would be literally in the earth. So he says, your name is now going to be a rock, something stable, something taken off of a larger rock, a massive rock. And in Matthew 16, the Lord refers to himself as Petra, a massive and living rock. And so the idea that's presented here is, Peter, you're going to be a little piece kind of me. And so a rock is not something that we think of as being anything else but stable and solid. And so this name change is given. And again, I asked a question a few minutes ago. How can we apply this to ourselves as we think about our relationship with the Lord? Well, when we put our faith in Christ, the Lord gives us a new name, a new nature. It's rather remarkable in the Bible how many people's names he changed. He changed Saul to Paul. He changed Abram to Abraham. And you know, this just isn't some random thing that occurs in the Bible. God is laying out a principle here, that he is in the business of changing people and making them into people who are better than what they started as. And you know, lots of people have that passion and longing in their life. They want to be a better person. The problem is, you sometimes you launch into something and you say, well, I'm going to improve, you know, and maybe I'll go and have counseling with somebody and they'll help me become the person I want to be. I don't want to be so hot-tempered, or I don't want to be so pessimistic, or whatever it is we've decided that is not really what we want to be. And I want to be seen as someone who's who people would look at and find something that was positive about them. The problem is, making that change on our own is virtually impossible. You might be able to carry forward in it in self-will for a while, and you know, depending on your temperament, I don't know how much success you might have. But the problem is, very, very soon, lurking under the surface, is that same old person that we got right from conception and birth. The Lord is the only one who can come in, and He brings something new into our life. But one of the things that we find over the course of time in our Christian experience is that Simon struggles with Peter all the time, doesn't he? And those two names, they kind of twist and work back and forth and they wrestle. And, you know, the more we're willing to submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus, the more we find Peter manifesting himself in our life. And the more we drift away and don't pay attention to things the way we should, the more we find that Simon takes precedence. And this was the experience with Peter. As you look at his life, you find one example after another where you know, you listen to him talk and you'd think you were talking to Peter, this solid, stable rock, you know, stone. And then a couple of sentences later, you're pretty certain that you're talking to Simon, and this person who's just so full of, you know, all kinds of emotion and self-will and those type of things. God is in the business, that's the bottom line, of changing people. He likes to make people better. And I think the bottom line for us as we sit here this morning and think about that, because this is just one of the fundamental things we learn when we become a Christian, but it's something that's basic to our faith and basic to our experience as Christians. The key really is our willingness to let Him change us into the person that He would like us to be. Now, the second time that the Lord interacts with Peter is when He calls him into His service. And this happens a little bit later from the account, I think, that we get in John chapter 1. And we find that the Lord one day, it seems that these disciples attached themselves to the Lord, and at the beginning there was, you know, they may have gone back to what they were doing and then went out to listen to Him again. But at a certain point, and the record is given in two or three of the Gospels, at a certain point, the Lord comes and formally calls them to follow Him. And the incident where He calls them into that is He goes and finds them involved in their fishing business. And so there was James and John and Andrew and Peter, the four of them, working there in this fishing business. And so the Lord comes, and He, as Andrew and Peter are fishing and James and John are mending their nets, He walks into this situation and He says to them, He stands in the midst of them, and these are the words that He says to them. The first call to ministry, to do something for Him, He says, follow Me. Follow Me. And He says, if you will follow Me, I will make you something. If you follow Me, I will make you into something. Something that is higher than what you are involved in now. He says, I'm going to work with what you're doing already. You're fishermen. That's a commendable thing. An honorable profession. But He says, I'm going to make you more than fishers of fish. I will make you fishers of men. And God is still doing that as well. He's calling us to do something meaningful with our lives. And we're all called, in a certain sense, to be fishers of men. And if you read carefully what those passages say, He says to them, I will make you become fishers of men. Not I will make you fishers of men. He's doing that. But even at the very beginning, he indicates to them that it's a process. And that ought to be encouraging to us this morning. Because you know, sometimes I think it's easy to think that what I should be is instantaneously the man that God wants me to be, or instantaneously the woman that God wants me to be. But all indications from the Scripture are this, that the Christian life is a journey. It is a journey. And in many ways, it's a long journey. And it's filled with all kinds of challenges. The road turns to the left sometimes, to the right sometimes. Sometimes you're working your way uphill. Sometimes you're down in the valley. Sometimes you're walking with certain companions. Other times you're walking alone. But it's a journey. And journeys are challenging. And journeys are not accomplished in one day or one moment. And so here we are on this journey. And above all else, God wants us to be someone. He wants us to be someone before we do something. And so the two lessons that we get as we have to close here this morning is this. Number one, God is in the business of changing people. When you put your faith in Christ, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The New Testament refers to the new man that has been created within us. But we're not in glory yet, so we still wrestle with that old man, that old woman that wants to just be contrary to the things of God. And the more we are willing to let Him work in our lives, the more we will become the person that God wants us to be. Not only does He want us to be someone, He wants us to do something with our life. Something that's going to count. And, you know, whatever that may be, God has a special spot for you that you are utterly unique to fulfill. And there's no job, no position that is insignificant with God. Nothing is. One of the things that Satan often comes along and can really discourage us with is sort of speaking into our hearts and lives and saying, you know, your life doesn't matter at all. You've made such a mess of it. What have you ever done that has amounted to anything for God? And, you know, those can be very discouraging thoughts. You sort of think, well, what have I done? But you know what? Just set those aside. Because even the smallest thing that's done for the Lord will not lose its reward. Even a glass of cold water given in the name of a disciple shall not lose its reward. But we're on a journey. And the very first words that the Lord says is, follow me. And I don't know if you'll get out tonight, but it's rather interesting. Kind of at the end of that journey, at least as far as the gospel record is concerned, Peter and the Lord have a little bit of interaction around a fire up by the Sea of Galilee. And Peter's all concerned about John, who's sitting there. And the Lord says to him, do you know what, Peter? I'm going to echo something to you that I said to you 3.5 years ago. What does it matter about the person beside you? You follow me. 3.5 years after the Lord first said it, He was still saying the same thing. The message doesn't change. It's simple, but not easy. Follow me, and I will make you become something. I will make your life count for me. Anyways, that's enough for this morning. I hope I can be forgiven for all the frivolity at the start. And we'll press on with dear old Peter tonight. See how we do. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for this time that we spend together this morning. We are grateful for the record of Peter, Father, and that you are so honest to tell us that while he was a good man, he had flaws as well, Father, and that it was a journey and that he did become something over time. But Father, we just pray that we would take the simple little lessons from his life and apply them to ourselves this week. We pray that we would allow you to make us into someone, make us a little better than what we were, and that you would open up doors that would allow us to do something for you, if it's just even to put a smile on someone's face, to say an encouraging word, to send a smiley text, Father, to someone that just brings a little bit of joy into their life. All these things are being calculated and remembered. And Father, we just Pray that you would help us not only to be hearers of the word, but doers as well. Just pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.